Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Bre is a work of political philosophy and social criticism by Elizabeth Anderson, a philosopher known for combining ethics, political theory, and economics. The book argues that many modern workplaces operate less like free markets than like private governments, where employers exercise broad authority over workers' conduct, speech, and daily routines. Anderson's central claim is not simply that workplaces can be unpleasant, but that the structure of employment often resembles authoritarian rule in ways that are routinely overlooked because private power is treated differently from state power. Drawing on political history, labor relations, and familiar concepts in political economy, she asks readers to reconsider what freedom means after a worker has accepted a job. The book is designed for readers interested in labor, democracy, and political theory, and it aims to explain why workplace power deserves the same serious scrutiny usually reserved for public government. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, workplaces as private governments rather than neutral markets. Anderson's most important move is to challenge the standard idea that employment is a simple voluntary exchange between equal parties. She argues that once a person is hired, the workplace often becomes a governed space in which employers can issue commands, set rules, monitor behavior, and sanction disobedience. This matters because the language of contract can hide the reality of hierarchy. A worker may technically agree to a job, but that agreement does not eliminate the employer's continuing power over everyday life on the job. Anderson shows that this power is not incidental or exceptional. It is built into the institution of modern employment. By framing firms as private governments, she makes readers compare managerial authority to political authority, which reveals how much discretion bosses often have over speech, schedules, movement, and personal conduct. The point is not that every workplace is equally oppressive, but that the structure of employment gives private actors powers that deserve democratic scrutiny. That comparison is what makes the book distinctive and provocative. Secondly, why employer authority can resemble authoritarian rule. A major theme in the book is that the workplace can operate with an authoritarian logic even when it exists inside a legally liberal society. Anderson highlights how employers may impose rules on dress, communication, surveillance, and even off-hours expectations while workers have limited ability to contest them. The key issue is accountability. Public governments are at least supposed to be constrained by elections, law, and constitutional norms. But private workplace authority is often exercised through unilateral managerial discretion. Anderson uses this contrast to explain why many workers experience domination without having the vocabulary to describe it. The analogy to authoritarian rule is therefore analytical, not rhetorical flourish. It helps show that coercion does not disappear just because it is mediated through employment rather than the state. This line of argument also helps explain why many workplace disputes feel political rather than merely contractual. The worker is not only buying a paycheck with labor. In many cases, the worker is also submitting to a regime of ongoing supervision and rule setting that can reach deep into personal autonomy. Thirdly, the limits of exit, voice, and loyalty in real working life. Anderson draws on Albert O. Hirschman's framework of exit, voice, and loyalty to clarify the constrained choices workers face. In theory, dissatisfied employees can leave, speak up, or endure the situation. In practice, however, these options are sharply limited by economic pressure, unequal bargaining power, and the need to secure income, health coverage, and stability. Exit may be technically available, but materially costly. Voice may exist, yet be weak when workers fear retaliation or know that collective action is difficult. Loyalty can become a demand for compliance rather than a genuine relationship of commitment. Anderson uses this framework to show why workplace freedom cannot be judged only by formal consent at the moment of hiring. A person who has few realistic alternatives is not meaningfully free in the same sense that a well-protected citizen is supposed to be free under rule of law. This analysis strengthens the book's central political claim: labor markets are not self-justifying zones of freedom, because the practical conditions under which people remain employed often undermine the very autonomy the market is assumed to protect. Fourthly, historical and philosophical roots of the workplace freedom problem. The book is not limited to contemporary complaints about management. It situates workplace authority in a longer history of political thought and social change. Anderson revisits the historical transition from older forms of labor organization to industrial employment, then connects that history to thinkers such as Adam Smith, Thomas Paine, and Karl Marx. This historical approach matters because it shows that the modern workplace did not emerge as a naturally free institution, but as a system shaped by changing property relations, labor discipline, and political ideas about authority. Anderson also criticizes traditions that focus narrowly on state power while overlooking power exercised inside firms. That critique gives the book its philosophical force. Liberal theory often celebrates freedom from government interference, but it may ignore domination that occurs in supposedly private settings. By placing workplace governance inside the broader history of political economy, Anderson argues that the standard boundaries between public and private are morally misleading. The result is a deeper account of how freedom can be formally protected in law while being eroded in everyday economic life. Lastly, workplace democracy as a corrective to managerial domination. Anderson does more than diagnose a problem. She points toward democratic reform in the workplace. Her argument suggests that if firms exercise governing power, then they should be subject to forms of accountability and participation analogous to those expected in political life. This does not require treating every business like a parliament, but it does imply that workers should have more say over the rules under which they labor. The book points to cooperative and participatory models, including examples such as Mondragon, to show that more democratic workplace organization is possible in practice. These examples are important because they prevent the book from remaining purely critical. Anderson's broader aim is to expand the idea of democracy beyond elections and state institutions into the sites where adults spend much of their waking lives. That makes the book especially relevant to debates about labor rights, union power, corporate governance, and economic democracy. Its practical value lies in giving readers a framework for seeing workplace reform not as a special interest demand, but as a democratic necessity. In conclusion, this book should be read by anyone interested in political philosophy, labor relations, democratic theory, or the ethics of economic life. It is especially useful for readers who want to understand why workplace power often feels coercive, even when it is legally framed as voluntary employment. Anderson gives readers a sharper language for describing managerial domination, surveillance, unequal bargaining power, and the mismatch between formal freedom and lived experience. The benefit is both intellectual and practical. Intellectually, it challenges the habit of treating the firm as outside politics. Practically, it helps readers think more clearly about workplace reform, collective action, and democratic participation at work. What makes the book stand out is its central reframing. Many books criticize bad bosses or discuss labor markets in economic terms, but this one argues that the modern workplace is itself a governing institution that should be judged politically. That shift in perspective is what gives the book lasting importance. It is not simply a critique of work. It is a challenge to the way liberal societies define freedom, authority, and citizenship. If you would like to support Elizabeth Anderson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.